Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with a guest who is a moneymaker in every sense of the word. Literally speaking, he's a moneymaker. How does he describe himself, Tom? Antion, say hello to our guests.
Hello, everybody.
So to our guests, to our listeners.
Yeah. Well, they're our guests, right? I'm your guest too.
Right.
We're all your guests.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me first tell you what he says about himself. He says that he's never had a job. He's an internet multi-millionaire guy next door and the founder of the only, and I'm going to have to put him to, I have to put black on white, the only licensed dedicated internet marketing school in the country. 1, 2, 3, those 7 words. You're going to have to explain that.
Okay.
And he's the subject of a Hollywood documentary. The title is The American Entrepreneur, premiering in the spring of 2022. He owned at one time a practical joke company, a nightclub, and different other businesses with crazy stories. Now, the interesting part about Tom is he's got tons of stories. It is going to be my job to get those stories out of him, and I have to figure out how. But what I'm going to do, Tom, you're talking to me from Virginia,
Southeastern Virginia, Virginia Beach,
Virginia Beach,
and the largest city in Virginia.
Have you always lived there?
No. I came from a little 2-horse town in western Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Called Claysville. It was named after the great statesman Henry Clay.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't really sleep there. His horse just took a dump there on the way through, and that was good enough for us. So 500 people. 500 people Currently is the population. That's what it was.
So then you moved up and got to the city.
I went to the big city. I moved. I went through West by God, Virginia. I went on West, a major. Yeah, you got to say by God if you say West Virginia. Yeah, I heard one of your guests was from the University of California at Berkeley.
Yeah.
And we went out to play them, a bunch of hicks from West Virginia going out to there. And we get no respect, of course.
Of course
we were we were the West Virginia Mountaineers. Mm. And on the scoreboard, at the University of California at Berkeley, it said the Western Virginia Coal Miners. Instead of the West Virginia. And then we beat them. And
now that's nice. That's nice. That's nice. Ooh, that's really nice.
So I lived in a 2-horse town.
Yeah.
And we lived in the suburbs. So I was clear in the sticks. There was nobody to play with. I was the baby of 6 boys and became very creative. Let's put it that way.
So you came from a fairly big family. I mean, 6 children. I mean, that's a big family by even, any standards, really.
Yeah.
And so where were you on the line? Were you the
I was the baby.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you were the baby.
Baby of 6 boys. Yep.
And wow.
What's interesting is my dad was married to my mother for 57 years.
Uh-huh.
But the cool part is he was married to another lady for 20 years.
I mean, he got around this man.
Yeah. He was married for 77 years. And I haven't made it 77 minutes with anybody, Yeah, he died at 94. You're basically sitting here talking to him because he pretty much molded my whole entrepreneurial experience and everything, but except for the part getting married. Yeah.
So let's see. Okay. So little Tom.
Tom, yeah.
Grows.
Tiny Tom, yeah.
Tiny Tom grows, but you eventually get to high school, right? What kind of Tom was in high school? What was the high school like for you?
Well, there was quite a journey to get to high school because I was very large. I was 140 pounds in first grade.
In first grade?
First grade. And I was 6 feet, 220 pounds at 12 years old.
Wow.
And in fact, and I played midget football, they call it here in the States.
What is that, midget football?
That's the young. It's midget, regular. Uh-huh. It's not soccer kind of. It's regular American football, but it's little kids.
Yeah.
And the average kid was 60 pounds and I was 220.
Oh, my goodness.
And so after I got done playing, they made the rules to limit the 150 pounds in the United States.
God. You've come a long way.
Well, yeah, but I went on to be a fourth in the state in heavyweight wrestling, and I went to college on a major top 20 school on a football scholarship. So,
wow.
So and then took off from there. So high school was good. I was valedictorian, which was really good when you had like three people in your class, you know. So, told you we lived in the sticks.
Okay.
But, they were thinking about homeschooling me, and I thought, that's really good. I could be president of the senior class. I could.
I mean, they wouldn't. How could they homeschool you? I mean, why would they homeschool you?
No. So I was valedictorian and I went to college on a football scholarship, and I squeezed 4 years of college into five.
That's not a squeeze. That's a sort of a blow.
in major college football, there's a thing called a red shirt. Uh-huh. And that's if you weren't quite developed enough yet to really play the big time, they held you back a year, like almost in grade school. If you can't read, hold you back.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So at one point you went to college, right? And what did you major in college?
I started in pre-dentistry and I audited a class.
But why did
I didn't know. I mean, what kid knows what they're going to do nowadays? In fact, the guy that wrote In Search of Excellence said, don't worry if your kid doesn't know what they're going to do, because it probably hasn't been invented yet.
Yeah, right. You
know, the way things are going now.
Yeah.
So I audited an oral hygiene class. It was me and 31 dental hygienists, all female. And I said, this
female.
Is cool.
This is cool.
This is cool, but I just can't see myself cooped up in an office after being entrepreneurial and all this stuff. So I went into, you had to pick a major. So I picked psychology. But from what I recall, this is a long time ago, they kicked me out because I really liked that electric shock treatment on people. I was always taking business courses too, and then before I graduated from college, I owned five apartment buildings and a hotel.
So let's say that you had a way of, you know, throwing out a network. You give the definition of thinking big or thinking outward in any case. So when you talk about owning buildings or apartments, that's real estate, right?
That was real estate.
But that's investment. That was a form of investment for you.
Well, I didn't have anything to invest. This was long before no money down kind of stuff. So I remember vividly, I was sitting in the square that's called Sunnyside at the university. And I'm reading a book by William Nickerson called How I Turned $1,000 into $1 million in Real Estate. And I was looking at all the techniques. I said, I could do that, but I don't really have $1,000. So I found an attorney, an older guy that owned a triplex in the city.
What's and he a rented triplex?
That's three units in one building. A duplex is two units in one building.
Right.
And he owned it free and clear, which means the bank was not involved. He just had already paid it off years ago.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to take all the money from it because he'd have to pay what they call capital gains tax and pay a big amount of money.
Yeah.
So he sold it to me for no money down and just took payments. And so I,
that was kind of him.
Yeah. Well, that was, it worked out for both of us because he gave me a break and then he didn't have to pay all these taxes.
Right.
So, in those days they rented per person for the students.
And so every unit could hold up to what?
Several students. Yeah. And so the attic was empty and I thought I could remodel this and they were, tearing the seats out of the wooden seats out of the old Mountaineer Field, the football stadium, and replacing them with plastic. So I said, hey, can I have some of them? And they said, yeah, we're just going to take them to the dump. So I took them all, not all of them, there's 50,000 seats. And I went to Kmart, which is a big department store over here. And got a $10 circular saw, ripped them down the middle and made 2x4s out of them. And I remodeled this attic and got three more kids in for another $125 each. Wow. So I got the income web. It was straight to the bottom line profit.
Yeah.
And then I was so successful with it, I did it again. I found another guy and another guy and another guy. And then my biggest break of all, Claudia, and this is a really good lesson for folks, and it's to give before you get. And so I was charging more to the kids than I was paying in rent to my landlord. So every time he would come over to work on the house, I'd say, hey, Frank, can I help you? You teach me how to do this, but I'll help you put these gutters on or whatever.
Right.
And so did that. So at the end of the year, he comes to me and he says, hey, Tom, I want to talk to you. And I said, what do we do? He says, I've been renting apartments to kids in this town for 25 years. He said, not once ever has one of them asked to help me do anything, let alone want to learn about He says, I own a hotel about 20 minutes from here in another town. I want you to have it. Well, have it meant that he said, this is, again, you got to know a little bit about real estate finance, but he says, I'll hold the second mortgage. You just have to come up with the first mortgage and then you'll have no money down. I'll train you how to run it. I want to retire and go to Florida.
Right.
So that's the first lesson. Give before you get. Second lesson is persistence.
Uh-huh.
I had to go to 50 different lending institutions because they were saying, okay, you're a little kid that's got a couple apartments, but this is a hotel. What are you trying to do? Took 50 tries and I finally landed the first mortgage. He held back the mortgage for the second mortgage. I paid both of them off and I was making $65,000 a year while I was in college in the 70s. And then I sold the whole thing to the city for several hundred thousand. So I made $500,000 on it from giving before I get and being persistent. Hey, look at you. You left me. Hello? Can't hear you. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. I can't hear you. Your audio is gone.
Yeah, you should be able
to
hear me now. Yeah. There you go. Well, so when, how long was this from the first purchase of the triplex to this other
About 2 years.
Oh, so that was really, really fast.
Yeah, because I was still in school.
Okay, so that's big time fast. So you have your engine revved up by now, you know. I this is what I'm seeing. So there's a lot of energy there. Whatever happened to all of those extra 100 pounds, 200 pounds? Did they go somewhere, you know, volatile like energy? Or
you mean my weight?
Yeah.
No, well, they, as soon as, you know, when you're in major college football, your caloric intake is high, but your exercise is over the professional level, pretty much.
Right.
And so when I got out, I bought a nightclub and pizza shop. Uh-huh. And but all the exercise went away, but the caloric intake was still there, you know. So, and I was eating up all the pizza profits and everything else. So I ballooned up pretty big. And then I've been up and down. The only thing that's ever been successful for me, and a little controversial, is the keto diet.
Yeah. The other day, I think it was 2 days ago, it was National Keto Day. Do you believe that?
Oh, was it? I didn't realize that. No.
Actually put a post up and I didn't even think they had a keto day.
It was just amazing because
Tom,
an overeater my whole life.
I know, but Tom, keto means you can't have any carbohydrates, right?
Not any. I mean, you have to limit them. And what was interesting was, is that in the first 3 days, it was a little bit hard, but then all of my cravings quit. Everything.
Good.
And I lost, over the course of a year, I lost 100 pounds.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And now one thing is I've got pretty good genes. My dad came from Syria on a cattle boat. And
good for him.
And he gave me good genes because I went to have a physical.
Yeah.
And the doctor, and I joke around with people all the time, so they feel comfortable saying things to me. So he says, other than being a fat butt, there's nothing. I got people half your age falling apart. I'm not on any kind of pills, nothing. I'm going to be 67 in July.
Yeah.
And people think I'm 40. And of course I act like a 12. So that,
for our listeners, I have to say, you know, I have in front of me a person who does look at least 15 years old, younger than that age. I mean, you're my age, you know, and I get the same thing, but there's a lot of
movement. Oh, I thought you were in your 30s. What do you mean?
I'm having you back on my show.
That's what I said. I'll do anything to get invited back. See?
Listen, so that means that that was the way you started, and you did say that you'd had marketing courses. And how much did that impact your business as you were making money? What did that directly help you in any way?
Somewhat, but I had been doing entrepreneurial gigs since I was 10 years old.
Okay.
I've been in business formally 45 years.
Okay.
But 10 years old, I'm selling advertising specialties door to door. I won the awards for selling encyclopedias. If anybody remembers those.
Oh God, I remember that. I used to do that too.
The people here, some of the younger ones, like, what's so hard about selling a disc? I mean, I was always helping my dad with stuff. He was an entrepreneur, but then he was also an electrician. Mm-hmm. And so, he would bring home all this extra wire from the jobs. He was the foreman, temporary, and I would strip the rubber off and take it in and get, you know, so much per pound. I mean, he's always doing something entrepreneurial.
Yeah. So let's say that, you have all of these, in Italian, we say a lot of trains are leaving at the same time. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of things going on parallel, right? But you must have a business that is, you know, like your first child, something that you really, really love, that more than all of the other businesses.
I'm in it. Yeah. Right now. Because it's, you know, I've had a nightclub, I've had a pizza shop. I was a freelance charter pilot.
Yeah.
You know, my podcast is called Screw the Commute, because you can almost live two or three extra lives if you're not in traffic making somebody else rich all the time.
Well, yeah.
so
when you say I'm in it, can you describe what in it is? In what?
Yes. So after the entertainment company, I got worldwide publicity for doing all the crazy stuff in our entertainment company.
Uh-huh.
And it led to a professional speaking career.
Okay.
So I've done 3,000 speeches in 12 countries. And that was prior to the internet coming along.
Yeah.
So in 1990, and you know, all of us would try to sell tapes and stuff in our books and things like that. But you know, it was hard enough selling them across the street, let alone around the world from your desktop. So when the internet came along in 1994, the commercial internet,
right?
I said, I'm going to figure this out. I mean, so I figured this out, and with 4 years later, I was a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Because I could sell, a lot of times I just sell electrons, you know, I'm just selling digital stuff. I'm selling ebooks, and I have one ebook that I wrote in 4 hours, and it's hard to tell a PhD this, but I wrote it 4 hours. And, you know, you probably spent 4 years on your thesis or something.
No. It's, you know, you can, writing is a gift, right? It's writing. It's like a musician. And when you have, when you love to write, you just have to write down what you have to say. That's it. Period.
Well, if writing is like a musician, I'm good at very simple songs. Like Barry Jacques and Happy Birthday. But the thing I wrote in 4 hours, I was at a layover in McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, and I wrote it. It's brought in, as of this morning, $3.68 million.
Mm-hmm. And was this self-published? How did you, or you have a
everything
publishing
company? Well, no, I've had major published books, and they're the biggest pain in the neck.
It is.
Of all. I mean, they nickeled, I mean, they gave me a good advance, but nowadays you can't get a good advance unless you're a big celebrity. So they're all self-published, and many are ebooks now. And now I'm starting to make Audible. I just finished this weekend.
Audiobooks.
Audiobooks. I've had a lot of audio programs, but this is very highly structured to be on Audible. And,
Tell me now, there are several books I've seen, you know, on your website. Why don't you give us a couple of names of the titles of the books? Because, of course, in the description of this episode, I'm going to write down your website, and there is everything. But what are the most, when you, this recent book you said, now that's over, you know, sold over 3 million copies, what or has made you that much money? What are the titles and what do they deal with?
Well, everything that I do is nonfiction. Because I don't have the brain for fiction to make character development and plots and all that. So it's all nonfiction and business related. So that book was called How to Pick a Shopping Cart System That Makes You Money. So it's all the things, if you're going to be online, what you need to know about the shopping cart system. And it's a free ebook. Now, that's another concept. People say, boy, that's BS. How can you make $3 million on a free ebook?
Yeah, right.
Well, here's the method. It's very simple. In online, Amazon actually kind of invented this, is the affiliate stuff, where you recommend something to Amazon sells and they give you money.
Right.
That's a basic affiliate thing. Well, a residual affiliate program is where I recommend it to you. And as long as you keep buying it every month or every year, I keep getting paid. So I recommend it once and get paid forever as long as you stay in. So this book teaches you how to do this, but you can't do it unless you buy the tool to do it, which is the shopping cart system that I recommend.
Yeah.
And then you keep it. Some people have had it 15, 16 years. You know,
I'm listening to you, Tom, and I'm getting tired of, just listening, because, you know, I mean, if you were would be talking about dancing or, you know, having fun or, you know, doing cooking, except here there's such a superstructure. You know, it's about structure, it's about systems, it's about the way systems work, which of course we have to have that, you know, bird's eye view. We have to know how things work at a bird's eye level, you know. I'm thinking it's tiresome to count all that money. I mean,
it all depends on your mindset. I get a big kick. My nickname is the King of Ka-ching. Because I have my email set to go ka-ching when the orders come in.
Yeah.
And my students were here and they said, you're the king of ka-ching, aren't you? Okay. So they named me that. So, you know, but you talk about, if I was talking about dancing, you know, you'd be thrilled. But a good day for dancing for me is if I don't hurt anybody on the on the dance floor. So everybody's got their own thing.
All right. So before in the beginning of the talk, you mentioned you learned early on that you have to give and to get back, right?
Right.
And so I'm interested in knowing, have you thought of a systematized way to give money instead of help or you know, chores or something like that? Has that become part of your
Most of mine, I mean, I have raised enormous amounts of money. Mm-hmm. So it's not technically me taking a dollar and giving it to somebody.
Right.
For instance, I auctioned myself off. I was at a big event. Yeah.
Wait a minute. It depends. How much weight? How much did you weigh?
I know you're in Italy, but I'm not a gigolo. All right. I might be easy, but I can't be had.
You heard him, ladies and gentlemen. You heard him. Do we have to believe him?
So I'm sitting in the back of this event that I'm supposed to speak at, and there's other speakers, and they have this one guy that runs this charity for homeless children in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And the definition of a homeless child is one that moves every 30 days.
Right. Average. Right.
And their average is 9 years old or 8 years old, something.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here looking at my fat gut and thinking, oh my God, these kids are starving, and look at me, and I can do something about this. So I got on stage and auctioned myself off, and I raised like $78,000, me giving consultations. Okay, that's nothing. It was all remote. Don't get all crazy. All remote. I know you Italian people. I don't want to get, if I ever go to Italy, I don't want to get my butt pitched all over the place. I ended up feeding 288 children for a year. I mean, there was a point that they had to teach the children how to hide the food because the older kids would steal it from them.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was just a terrible situation. So that was that. Then I raised $24,000 for Bichon Rescue, which is a little white dog that looks like a poodle.
Uh-huh.
I actually have a website that says I am not a poodle.com because everybody says what a cute poodle you have. And the dogs are getting a complex over it because I'm not a poodle, I'm a Bichon. So I raised tons of money for them, and I got a rescue dog in there right this moment, you know. So these are the ways I kind of do, because I'm very, I also have a TV show in development called Scam Brigade. I go after bad people that rob people. And I'm very skeptical of a lot of charities because I give you a dollar and like a half a penny ends up getting to the homeless person.
Right,
you
know, right.
I don't like that. So I'm in control better when I'm doing the stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could get that. I see a person who I'm in control when I can do it. You know, I get that.
Right.
Do you have you ever collaborated with some university or institutions to give talks or courses, seminars on money making or business or anything?
A lot of mental institutions like they can't wait to get their hands on it.
I'm looking at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. We're all watching the television. You come walking in.
Right.
Give your talk. There's still
you know, I haven't. And you know, I'm really, you know, I'm very pro education, but I'm very down on the state of it currently.
Unfortunately.
Because the kids are in massive debt. Yeah. They learning nothing but how to protest, and they'll cry if somebody drops a feather in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting skills.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know what, I'm going to start my own school.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Have you thought about that?
I did 12 years ago. I started the school.
And what kind of school is it?
It's considered vocational, but it's the only licensed internet marketing school in the USA.
Okay. All right. So can you talk to us about that a little bit more in detail? Because this is interesting. It's interesting. It's everything you talk about is interesting, but this, I mean, I want to invite you again. So I have to be complimentary myself, but tell us a little bit about
it. Well, you know, as I said, I go after bad people because there's a lot of scammers out there. And I, you know, it's like old Ronald Reagan said, trust, but verify.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so, you know, a lot of trusting people get really ripped off in this arena because you can be, there was a New Yorker cartoon where there was a dog at a computer and his buddy is a dog. And he says, hey, you can't be on the computer selling stuff. You're a dog. He says, hey, on the computer, they can't tell if you're a dog.
Yeah. Right. yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, anybody can get on here and, yeah, and say whatever and then take your money. See, so yeah. I went after those people. And so I thought, you know, in my regular business that to get my students and things, I need to set myself apart. So I went through 3 years of scrutiny, financial background checks, everything mm-hmm. to get the license to have a for-profit school.
Uh-huh.
Because they really cracked down on for-profit schools yeah. because a lot of the owners were ripping the students yeah. off and yeah. getting yeah. rich and giving mm-hmm. them no education. So
So wait, hold on a second, Tom.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt you. So when you yeah. said it's a vocational school, what level are, is it an open age, open type of enrollment?
Yeah, it's a distance learning school.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if you're under 18, you have to have parental permission, okay. mm-hmm. but we have had two people under, one was 12 and one was eight, both wrote three books.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So the kids are crazy good with the technology nowadays. Yeah, I should yeah. turn this ringer off. So that's the easy part for them, but yeah. they don't understand marketing and how they could make their own right. way because, you know, there's no 30-year gold watches anymore. You're lucky if you get a job that lasts for 30 minutes before some big company buys you out, you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
and throws you to the curb. And then you got, excuse me, PhD again, you got PhDs and MBAs yeah. competing for jobs at Starbucks. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I know.
So this, and this is true. This is not exaggeration. So these people, minimum of 6 months, it usually takes people 6 months to a year, but they have a digital and internet marketing skill where they know how yeah. to do email marketing and shopping carts and social media the way that actually makes yeah. money. So yeah. there's a big demand for that because most of the small businesses are clueless.
Yeah.
Most of the big companies spend way too much money on this.
Yeah.
And then you can have their own business. Currently, so, we're good.
So is it, do you have sort of, I don't know, curricula or packages of courses or you know this for this you have to take this for that you have to take that
no
that. Or they
we
can
have
just
one
pick
course
it.
One
oh.
course
oh
because covers all of it
oh
and the thing is what I found in all the years I've been doing this teaching this since you know 23-24 years mm-hmm. is that people come and they think they want one thing
right.
And even if they learned that one thing, there's 100 other things they got to know to make that one thing
right,
work.
Right, right.
And I tell people it's like a jigsaw puzzle, but you don't have the box to see what the whole picture looks like.
Right.
And I'm my school was the box cover. So right. you say, oh, I see how this works and this works and this works.
Yeah.
But when you said curricula, the reason I laughed is because well, we're the only.
You're that snide smile and snicker as you say PhD. I got it.
Well, no, the thing was is that we change our curriculum sometimes daily. No school on earth does this. No class uh-huh. on earth does this. But I'm not going to teach you something tomorrow that I found out is obsolete now on the uh-huh. internet because that's how fast things change. Uh-huh. So we have this massive list of changes we've made over the years. And you might be on course two and course one has a major change. Well, I want you to know about it because uh-huh. I want to give you a quality education and then teach you how to keep up into the future because it changes like crazy.
Yeah. So how long is this big, long one course?
You can, the minimum you can go through is 6 months. Most people take 6 months to a year if they take advantage of all the electives.
Ah, okay. Okay. So how many hours? Well, no.
Well, they call it 540 clock hours or something
right,
like that.
Right,
I don't
right.
know what the educators uh-huh. do. And, but, you know, that's the one thing that's a little bit crazy about this is that it's a distance learning school,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not one student has ever set foot in our office. We had to maintain a physical library full of printed books mm-hmm. and a place for them to look. And not one person in 12 years has ever been in the building. that's what drives me crazy about this stuff. But still we've stood apart. Now currently we've got this pilot program to, again, you asked me how I help people, so we got a pilot program to help persons with disabilities.
Uh-huh.
See, I've always thought that this is perfect for persons with disabilities because
right.
not only can they legitimately learn remotely, they can legitimately be hired remotely.
Uh-huh.
And so we've got three people. If you want to be inspired, two of them are blind going through an internet marketing program. Uh-huh. And so we started a GoFundMe account to get people involved. And then I took a grant writing course so that once I prove the concept that I can get these people hired and really going, then I'm going to roll it out big to foundations and corporations.
So let's say you have this school, and do you have a count of how many attendees have gone through the course?
Probably a couple hundred over 12 years. It's a boutique school. It's and it's usually people that know me from my reputation.
Yeah.
And so it's low, low volume, high touch. There's not going to be 200 people in a class at once, you know, and it's asynchronous. So you can be, you know, working a full-time job and do it in the middle of the night if you want.
Very convenient. Where can people find out about this? Do you have, it mentioned on your website?
Well, it is its own website, the Internet Marketing Training Center of Virginia. So it's imtcva.org. Internet Marketing Training Center, Virginia, VA.org.
Okay.
You
can write that to me and I'll add it here for everyone. Interesting. Well, I think that there's a lot of meat here for a long conversation.
I didn't even get warmed up yet.
I know you didn't even get warmed up, but we did talk about you. And I mean, you're the person, you're the go-to person if people want to know how to make money and how to capitalize on especially speaking events. And I was smiling when I was reading this, because then I said, well, he's coming to speak on my show. I wonder what he's expecting from me. You know, and I know what you're saying. I mean, you started speaking at events in the days of motivational speaking, you know, when they used to call it that then, and they still do, but it's done differently.
Yeah, it's different now. Yeah,
it's completely different. So where's the next mission? Where's the next thing? What's the next project?
Well, I'm so happy with this project I'm on now, because every day, I mean, I haven't been on an airplane in 2 years. Yeah. I love it, because if you look at TV, they're dragging people off the plane, the police and the FBI's waiting for them, and everybody's screaming. Yeah. So this is, I'm not mandated to do anything but sit here and help people, you know, so. Yeah. So I don't really look too far in advance, because I'm just, you know, I couldn't have gotten 45 years under my belt of doing stuff like this. I could have quit 20 years ago. I wouldn't be here talking to you if it wasn't fun.
I'm doing
stuff, and I got clients going to be waiting, and I'm going to be helping them develop their products and their books and everything. So that's good enough for me. When people say, when are you going to retire? And I'm like,
From what?
Exactly. I can't wait to tell people about some of the things we do that they can do to, it's like what I teach is like an insurance policy for your family. Like I teach people how to make their hobbies tax deductible, where most people just pay through the nose for their hobbies and then they feel guilty about it. Where if you put up a $150 website that's world-class, if you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
And, even put an affiliate product up there. Yeah, you've got a business now.
Makes
a lot of things tax deductible. You know, so
it is definitely fascinating.
Beats working for a living.
But it's fascinating. It's fascinating. And what's the next book going to be on?
Oh, boy.
I gotcha. Boy. He's spellbound. He's not talking. He's thinking still.
No, I already know what it is. It's called Highly Educated Idiots.
I love that.
Yeah, and so I've been collecting all this craziness that's going on of people that should be no better, and they make decisions that are just. I claim that I could take a farmer from my hometown, put him in any government job here in the United States, and they'd make better decisions.
They've got
common sense.
I have two sisters. And they both said to me, I'm the only one with the PhD. And they said to me, boy, for somebody who studied so much, you're pretty stupid. I got that so much. So I'm laying off the sauce now.
keep that down. I don't want to see you in my book. Yeah, so.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much, Tom, for dropping by and illuminating us. And when that book comes out, the idiots, I'll have you back so you can talk about why it's not necessary to me. I have two boys, right? One is a scientist. He's a, highfalutin artificial intelligence man. And another one is completely different. Let's put it that way. Very creative. And he's got a way of making money that just, it sounds like he's in your bunch of people. And he's, and every now and then he calls his brother up and he says, well, you still working?
This guy told me about a welder the other day, young kids, 24 years old, making $250,000 a year. He's an underwater welder.
Yeah. And yeah. That's fabulous. Yeah, it's fabulous. That's the kind of stuff my youngest does. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tom, and I hope to have you back.
My pleasure.